Global Economic Warning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Climate change could cost the world economy more than $6 trillion unless drastic international action is taken now. That's the thrust of a major study commissioned by the British government being released today. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The study accepts that dramatic climate change isn't certain to happen, but says the risk of it is undeniable, and the economic consequences could be dire. It could, over time, trigger the worst recession since the 1930s, shrinking the global economy by 20%. The report calls for world greenhouse gas emissions to be cut by three-quarters over the next 50 years. That would cost the global economy about 1% of its annual growth. Not a bad insurance policy, says economist John Hawksworth.
By giving up 6 to 12 months of economic growth in the long term, you can actually mitigate very significantly those risks. So just like, you know, taking insurance on your house or whatever, it seems like a pretty good deal economically.
The British government has backed the study and appointed former US Vice President Al Gore as an advisor, a clear attempt to win more American support for the battle against climate change. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Trans fatty acids. Doesn't sound particularly tasty, does it? Well, if you like Kentucky Fried Chicken, you may be happy to know the company plans to begin cooking with less trans fatty acids. KFC will announce today that it will begin frying in soybean-based oil. This follows claims that its food increases the risk of heart disease. The company makes the announcement in New York City. Also today in New York, hearings are expected to begin on a plan to ban trans fatty acids from restaurants across the city. It's a global problem you may not be aware of. 85 million young people around the world have no jobs. That word from the International Labor Organization based in Geneva. Their latest report on youth unemployment is out today. It says the hardest hit area is Southeast Asia. Ruth Kirshner has more.
The ILO says youth unemployment in Southeast Asia is a lot higher than the global average. While countries like Thailand, Vietnam and Malaysia have seen robust growth over the last few years, the number of jobs available for people aged 15 to 24 has not kept up. Stephen Capsos is a labor economist with the ILO.
You can have very rapid output growth, and oftentimes what we're seeing in East and Southeast Asia is a structural change. So economies are developing, and they're moving from agricultural production to more manufacturing and higher value-added services.
Capsos says young people often don't have the right skills to fill these new jobs. He warns that youth unemployment is costly both in economic and social terms and can lead to crime and social unrest. I'm Ruth Kirshner for Marketplace.
The American manufacturer of touchscreen voting machines got what it asked for. Sequoia Voting Systems asked to be investigated. Now it's confirmed that the federal government has launched a probe. This follows news reports suggesting the company had improper ties to Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. Sequoia's parent company, Smartmatic of Boca Raton, Florida, is owned by three Venezuelans. The market ended the week Friday on a down note. The Dow fell 73 points to 12,090. The Nasdaq slipped 28 points to 2350. In Tokyo, the Nikkei tumbled 317 points, or 1.9%. This is Marketplace. Earnings statements will continue to trickle out this week. So far, they're coming out of Asia. Hyundai and its partner Kia joined together to form the world's sixth biggest automaker, and the third quarter wasn't kind to either of the South Korean companies. Compared to a year ago, Hyundai and it cut its quarterly profit almost in half to $299 million. And Kia reported its first quarterly loss in 8 years. Kia lost nearly $46.5 million. The two companies blame a strong Korean won and some strikes over the summer. In Japan, Mitsubishi lost $137 million in the first half of its fiscal year. Now, that may sound bad, but lost more than three times that in the same period last year. In a little bit, we'll hear from Verizon and Clear Channel Communications. The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Urban Fellows, preparing people of all ethnic and racial backgrounds for leadership for more than 36 years at NUF.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. If you want to download a song, it will cost you about 99 cents. If you want your song as a ringtone on your cell phone, it will cost you to double. Everybody knows that this arrangement is making money for the phone and music companies and the iTunes of the world. But what about the artists? How much are they making? Marketplace's Lisa Napoli says that some are saying, not enough.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
You might think this song is just a silly little ditty, but it has been very, very good to Elmo Shropshire. It has sold 10 million copies since he first recorded it in 1979. And in the age of digital music and downloadable ringtones, the reindeer has new life as a cash cow.
Last year, for the first time, when we got our royalty statements, there were digital royalties on there. We had something like 140 or 50,000 downloads from Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And I thought, this is fantastic.
Until Shropshire took a closer look. He figured he'd get paid half of the $3 or so for each ringtone download. That's what his contract with Sony specified. Instead, he was getting 8 cents each.
Sony started treating this as if they were selling an actual CD. And as I scrutinized the royalty statement a little more, it looked like they were deducting 30% for packaging and then another 30% for returns and breakage and those kind of things. And I thought, just a minute now.
Jerry Weiner is Elmo Shropshire's lawyer. He says Sony's treating digital music sales the same way it treats hard copy sales, and that's against the contract. So now Weiner has filed a class action suit against Sony on behalf of Elmo Shropshire and other clients like Cheap Trick and the Allman Brothers.
They're mostly classic records. They're records that have recouped their costs dozens and dozens and dozens of times over. At this point, it's pure profit for everybody.
Weiner says as much as 90% of that profit is going to the record companies. Industry observers like Grant Robertson of the Digital Music Weblog says it's a problem.
I think anyone in business would like to be making the margin that the record companies are making on these sales. There's a lot of money left over there, and then the question is, where does that go?
The fuzzy math is what's kept some artists from allowing their catalogs to be made available online. The Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Radiohead, and Garth Brooks have been some of the resistors. For its part, Sony won't comment on the litigation. But Jerry Weiner says there's more to the fight he's waging than the players involved in the suit.
It's obviously the future is what we're talking about here, and what we're talking about is what artists are going to be paid down the road on these kinds of sales.
Right now, about 6% of all music sold is digital. And the one thing everyone in the industry does agree on is that number will just keep growing. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
And also in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
It's not quite a hell on earth, but...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.